Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you enjoy today's podcast. Of course, it is Wednesday, so that means it's time for your listener questions, and we tackle some great questions about how to make the most of a three-day quick trip down to Walt Disney World, some advice on securing that boarding group for Rise of the Resistance, and even a debate. Coronado Springs or Caribbean Beach for a quick getaway, that and much more coming your way. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. They are the best of the best. They're a platinum earmarked agency. Their services are absolutely free to you, and you get a professional, passionate agent each and every time. So drop by the Magic for Less today, themagicforless.com today, and fill out that free no-obligation quote form. Mention the podcast, and you and I are going to be working together on your next Disney adventure. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon, anytime you shop online. And if you really want to support the show and get some extra content in your week, including Mike in the Midwest every Thursday, become a patron. Thank you so much to our patrons. You can find out all the details over at patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1760 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you, which feels probably a little bit like a Tuesday because Tuesday felt like a Monday. And, you know, this week's all screwed up because if you're here in the States, and I know Sandra's down in Australia, like, what are you talking about, Mike? It's the Labor Day holiday.
Was that your attempt at an Australian accent? Because that was not good.
But I did go to Outback a couple weeks ago. That's and not I got the shrimp same. On the Barbie.
Stop it.
I didn't get a Foster's, Australian for beer. But yeah, stop! I had a Coke Zero. Your anyway, it's the days of the week are all off this week, but we're here to let you know it is in fact Wednesday, as long as I post the information correct and this releases on the right day. So we're halfway through the week already. And you know what that means? Listener questions. That's right. Yeah. I was waiting for your response. Sorry. It's kind of like the Jungle Cruise.
I wasn't prepared.
It's like the Jungle Cruise where you go niles and niles and put you in. Listener questions. Anyway,
exactly.
Yes. That's what we're doing today. Pam is still down at Walt Disney World. She is having sketchy internet issues. So we don't want to bring sketchy internet issues to our podcast. So we'll have her back next week. But we are here to answer your listener questions. So joining us from themouseforless.com where you need to go to get all the latest information, we have Ricky. Ricky, happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday that feels like a Tuesday. So yeah, it's definitely like the weird week, you know. I mean, I love the holiday weeks, don't get me wrong, because, you know, day off. But they totally screw you up the rest of the week. So I'm already completely all messed up. So it's all good, but you know, it does not feel like it should be Wednesday. So
and daylight savings time ends this Sunday.
No,
it doesn't. It doesn't. I'm just kidding. It's in November.
Oh, I was like, what are you doing to me? That's not even close to right. Okay. Thank you. Don't screw me up that way. I think it ends in November, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think. It's usually in November.
All right. Don't screw me up.
I haven't looked that far ahead. I don't look that far ahead in 2020. I'm just glad that the sun comes up the next day. That's all I got. I took a nap today and everything was canceled again. So
exactly.
All right. Let's get to the questions. We're going to go to the inbox for the first one because it says Christmas resort stay, and we're going to be talking about this on Friday, so stay tuned for that. On Friday, we're going to give you the primer of everything that's still going on down at Walt Disney World for the holiday season, when the decorations are going up, when the music's going to start, what's going to be missing this year, what's going to be modified. We're going to give you the primer for Christmas 2020 in Walt Disney World this Friday, but Kevin from South Carolina asks, hey, BOGP crew, my family of four currently have unactivated APs. With a 6 and a 4-year-old, we're waiting for things to return back to normal before we activate our passes and return to the parks. However, we'd love to do a resort-only stay during Christmas. Would we be allowed to visit the different resorts? Do you think this would be something worth doing? Thanks for all your help. Kevin. All right, so first of all, here's the deal. This is what I learned from staying on-site at Pop Century last month. Basically, if you're in the resort bubble, you know, say you're staying at a Pop Century or a Caribbean beach or say, you know, a yacht club or something, you're in the bubble where you can catch the Disney transportation and you can go to any other resort because all you got to do is go to a park and then hop a bus or a boat or a monorail, whatever. So, yes, you could resort hop. Now, we're going to talk about this on Friday.
Whoa, we don't do podcasts on Saturday.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Thinking of football. I think football starts Saturday. Not SEC, but Big 12. All right. So, Ricky, I know that there's, you know, something's going to be missing this year. The big one, the gingerbread houses that won't be around. But there will be some things to check out at other resorts. So maybe this is a cool little thing.
Yeah. So this year, no gingerbread houses at any of the resorts. Or I guess I should say gingerbread displays because, there's really only one house, which is usually at the Grand Floridian. And then at the other resorts.
It's more like a cottage.
It is definitely a cottage, yes. And then at the other resorts, it's kind of these unique displays. So like at the beach club, they have the carousel that actually rotates.
Of progress.
No, not at the boardwalk, they have a display usually. At the Contemporary, they have a display usually with Cinderella, and it looks like it's a Small World and stuff like that. They've done Frozen, and it looks like it's a Small World too. So they usually have a display there. But this year, no gingerbread displays at any of the resorts just due to social distancing.
Well, okay, so see, initially, because you know, Disney sends out these Destination Disney emails to all the travel agents, before this, it's kind of like when the press release hits, but same time. Yes. And so initially I thought, oh my God, like, is gingerbread like a conductor of COVID? I mean, like, it made it sound like, dude, don't even get, like, I'm scared this Christmas. Like, do not get me a gingerbread cookie. Like, I am scared to death. Like, it'll be the end of me. But I guess it's social distancing.
Yes, it's so that people, like, because if you've ever been to any of the gingerbread displays, especially the one at the Grand Floridian, they get pretty busy. I mean, you know, people come from all over to see these displays. So in order to minimize the ability for people to come from all over to see the displays, Disney has decided not to do the displays this year. So kind of sad. They will still be decorating all the hotels for Christmas. That's still an option. You're still going to be able to see the holiday decorations. They just may not be the same kind of decorations that you're usually expecting. So it's the going to see the displays is fine. However, it's not going to be like as grand as it usually is because they, you know, will just have trees at most of the resorts. There won't be, you know, and like garland and stuff like that. There won't be like anything else. So.
I will say, you know, stay tuned for Friday because we are going to get into, I'm going to give some of my, you know, kind of under the radar resorts to visit for because they have cool Christmas trees. I mean, it may just be a Christmas tree and some music, but still it's themed. So we'll talk about that on Friday. All right, next question from the live chat. Thanks for being live with us here in the Facebook page or on YouTube. We record usually on Mondays around 5:45 Eastern. We're a little bit early this week, but drop in next week.
Natalie also, we're not doing it on the wrong day, so it's
that's right. It's Tuesday. Yeah, well, it's holiday week again. We don't know what day of the week it is. Exactly. She says, "Hey, I know you guys have probably answered this, but is there any way you could explain the boarding pass system? Going in November and really like to have it down for Hollywood Studios. Love your show very much. Thank you, Natalie. All right, Ricky, do you want to walk through the boarding passes for Rise of the Resistance?
Yes. So obviously you have to be at the park before 10 o'clock in the morning, which is the time right now that they are dropping the Rise of the Resistance boarding passes for the first time in the day. So there's actually two times in the day now that they drop boarding passes. 10 o'clock in the morning is the first time, and then 2 o'clock in the afternoon is the second time. Now, what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to get on your My Disney Experience app. You're going to pull up and it's going to say something about it's. You'll see like right on the homepage. It says something about, you know, join a boarding group or whatever. It's plain to see.
Yeah,
usually.
You can't miss it. Yeah.
I mean, and if you do miss it, like just kind of scroll through your My Disney Experience app. You'll find it. It's on the main homepage. So it says Star Wars Rise of the Resistance request access with virtual queue. You're going to request the button. You're going to touch the button that says join. And then it will pop up with either the ability to join the queue or like you can see right now, I can't obviously join the queue because, well, I'm not there and B, the boarding passes have all been, you know, given out for the day. But, you know, if there are boarding passes available, you'll be able to hit the button that says, you know, to join the queue. then it will give you a time a boarding group number for when you will, you know, be able to come back to the attraction. Now you'll want to keep track of, you want to make sure that you have your alerts on your phone turned on. So that way when it's time for your boarding pass to come up, it will show up on your phone as an alert. So that's a helpful tip, by the way. But if not, you can always just check, you know, the My Disney Experience app to see what boarding group they're on. It does say in the app, like right now, it says it's boarding group 63 to 68. So it will constantly tell you what
is BB-8 moving on there. Because I'm like, come on now, BB-8, let's go. No, get to 79 or whatever. I'm in.
Not right now. He's not.
I know. With the mobile orders, like the thing that drives me crazy is like that burger just flipping. Like, come on, burger. Let's go.
Let's go.
Get done flipping. Exactly. I need to eat. Yeah.
So the most stressful part about the whole boarding pass process is the fact that you want to make sure that you are ready to go before 10 o'clock in the morning or the 2 o'clock in the afternoon time spot. So you want to make sure you're logged in. You want to make sure you've got, you know, everybody in your party, you know, in your My Disney Experience account. I would assume that you probably already have that all set up, but you know, just in case you don't, make sure that everybody is there. And you want to make sure that you are ready to go at that 10 o'clock time period, because they go, I mean, in seconds. And I'm not joking when I say like
it's 10 harrowing.
Seconds.
It's harrowing.
Yeah, it's absolutely
see,
like
that gray
awful.
Hair that was from my last ride. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, they go so quick. So just, you know, that's probably the most stressful part about it. Now, the good news is, I mean, if you kind of want to see it before when they did the boarding pass process, it was literally only the one shot. You only had when the park opened, that was it. When the boarding passes were gone, they were gone. Now, thankfully, they are offering the 2 o'clock time slot as well. So if for some reason you don't get your boarding pass at 10 o'clock in the morning, make sure you set an alarm for your phone. So that way, you know, okay, you know, like at 1:58 or something like that. Okay. I need to be on my phone.
See, you were, that's too close. Give you
that's
5 minutes.
I'm sorry.
At least. Come on now.
I'm sorry.
That alarm. At least 5 minutes.
I better cut it close at 1:58. Yeah,
that makes me nervous.
Too close. So go 1:55 to make Mike happy.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. And then be ready to go to make your reservation, your boarding pass reservation at that point. I don't know how fast it's going at the 2 o'clock time spot. I'm expecting it's still going pretty darn fast. All I know is that I keep seeing in the morning, like 10 o'clock, you know, 10 seconds, 8 seconds or something
stupid
like that.
The go-getters are there. The go-getters are there at 10.
Exactly. So, you know, you may have better luck at 2. I know my brother did. He actually went at 10 o'clock, was there all ready to go. Didn't get it in that first, you know, 10 o'clock time slot. And so he was freaking out. You know, he's like, oh, I got up early. I went to the park. I did everything and I still didn't get it. So his anxiety was really high. But then when the 2 o'clock time slot came open, he did manage to get a boarding pass. Now, the only problem with the 2 o'clock boarding pass is it is possible if the attraction is not running at optimal capacity that you may not get on the attraction. But for the most part, I think they're having pretty good success at making sure that everybody gets on the attraction for that day.
That's what it is. You'll worry about it for 5 days and it takes 10 seconds
exactly.
to take care of.
And it takes literally 10 seconds.
Most people get, because somebody's asking like, well, what's the, you know, mm-hmm. what's the percentage of people that actually ride the ride? Most people do. I mean, you'd be hearing about it if they didn't. So
that gets,
most people
that gets
do get on. Yeah. And most people get a boarding
pass.
Group. And most people do get a boarding group. You just got to be ready. If you're proactive. Now, if you're rolling at 6 o'clock, you're not going to get it. There's signs like everywhere. But yeah, I mean, if you are planning there and you're on time, most chances you're going to get something. It may be a later boarding group and it's kind of random. Like I always get later ones, even like when I'm right there, you know, but what here's a follow-up question on that. Celia asked in the live chat, someone asked me this question today and I had no clue. If you scan into DHS in the afternoon and are not in the park at 2, but your family is, can that person who scanned in and left before 2 still be put in a boarding group? I would say no, because now, I'm not sure on this. This is a really tricky situation, but I'm relating this to FastPass. And I think that the system is smart enough. Well, you don't scan out of a park, though.
No. And
that's true. Wouldn't know if you scanned out. So, yeah, maybe
If you're all connected on My Disney Experience, you should be. If you've already scanned into the park, you should be okay.
Yeah, because you don't scan out. Now, see, I was thinking of park hopping days where you might scan back into a second park before then, and then they would know you're not in the, you know, like say you went from the studios to Epcot in the old days. Well, then if you're scanned into Epcot, they know you're not in the studios anymore.
Yes.
But that isn't happening now.
that isn't happening now. No, I think I wouldn't test it if you really wanted to ride the attraction.
Okay, yeah, that's more harrowing than Ricky's 2-minute warning before the time.
Exactly, yeah. So I wouldn't test that one, but unless you really just wanted to test to see if it worked. I mean, you know, I personally wouldn't test it. So also somebody's asking, Mark is asking, do you think they'll ever allow a physical queue for Rise? And yeah, I think eventually they will. There's just...
You know what it would look like? It would look like the queue for the Madame Leota sipper.
Yes, exactly. I really think that it's a two-pronged problem. I mean, one is it's an incredibly, incredibly popular attraction, obviously. I mean, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, basically. So, I mean, you know, it's really, really cool. It is... I'd say it was the newest attraction at Disney's Hollywood Studios, but it's not anymore. You've got Mickey and Minnie's, which does have a physical queue. But the other problem with Rise right now is that the attraction, because of the how complex it is, it's actually... It makes it hard to make sure that it's running optimally. So I know that they have some issues sometimes with making sure the attraction is running at its best peak performance. So that's why they aren't having a queue, because people would be waiting in line for a really long time in those downtimes that the attraction is down. So with a virtual queue, you know, you don't have that issue of, you know, downtimes.
It's way easier to manage people in the case of technical issues with a virtual queue, because you just don't allow the next wave of people in.
Exactly.
But if you have a line that's 2 hours long, that's an issue. And plus, it's just with social distancing, it's everywhere.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. So I think eventually, yes, we will see an actual queue for Rise. I think they just need to work out some of the bugs and issues that they have with the attraction, because it's just such a technologically advanced attraction. You know, that's part of the problem right now.
All right. Shout out to Rick Schlosser, who is checking in from Skipper Canteen.
Awesome. I love Skipper Canteen.
Tastes like chicken.
Yes. No, the char siu pork is amazing there. It's really good.
Tara Hughes, who's tuned in from Walt Disney World right now.
That's awesome. God, yeah, everybody's
tuned in from
Walt
Missouri.
Right now.
You guys are killing it. All right, let's get to the next question. This one comes from the Facebook page. It is from Hunter. He says, I hope you're doing well. I've listened to your podcast for a couple of years now. I really enjoy the insight you guys provide. Oh, Hunter's in the live chat, too. This is great. I had it pulled up before I even noticed he was in the live chat. My first trip to Walt Disney World was with my wife for her honeymoon in 2016. She had been a few times with family and for cheerleading. Oh, my goodness. Cheerleading.
Wow.
I remember those.
Yikes.
Those old days. But that was my first experience, and I've been hooked ever since. We stayed at Port Orleans French Quarter, but as a banker, I'm always looking to be as efficient as possible, so I've planned the trips ever since. We stayed at All-Star Movies in 2018, All-Star Music in 2019 with our 2-year-old son, and had planned a trip to Disneyland beginning tomorrow. But of course, that is not happening now.
No.
But with that being said, I ended up booking a trip to Walt Disney World from September 26th to October 3rd at Pop Century. Since I started planning our trips, our goal is to get the best deal we can on the hotel, enjoying our days in the parks, and eat wherever we end up, with the exception of an occasional character dining experience or fine dining experience. Do you guys have any suggestions for upcoming trip, whether that's dining options, travel tips, etc.? Thanks, Hottie Toddy. Let me test you, Ricky. What is Hottie Toddy associated with? Come on now. You live in Georgia.
Drinking?
No. Well, I think it might be. But it is. Actually, it is a drink. But you don't know what that is? That's how, you know how like Mizzou people say M-I-Z to each other and it's Z-O-U's, which is back?
Yeah.
That's what Ole Miss fans say to each other. Oh. If you ever come across an Ole Miss fan, like if you ever come across Eli Manning, you just go,
okay.
You just go, hotty toddy. See you down at the Grove. Yeah.
Okay. Well, next time I come across Eli Manning,
there you go. How's Lane Kiffin treating you right now? That's what you say. Anyway, back to the question at hand. So he likes to be efficient. He's a banker. He sounds very much like your husband.
Fiscally responsible, as I like to call it. Yes,
I'm saying this sounds like Brian, but so tips. I mean, they have a 2-year-old son. They're trying to kind of, you know, stretch the buck, but also have a good time at the same time.
I mean, they're being smart by, you know, staying at the value resorts overall. I mean, that's kind of what we usually do. Like I said, I have a very fiscally responsible husband. So, you know, that's always what we do is if we're staying on site, we're almost always staying you know, unless it's with friends, or staying at a value resort. So you've got that, and you've got the best value resort, in my opinion, with Pop Century, because
you've got the only one
Skyliner.
Right now. So it doesn't matter because it's the only one that's open right
that's
now.
That's true.
Too.
It's the only one right now. So yeah, that's a good point. You know, I think that they have a great plan as far as, you know, saving money on like meals and stuff like that. You know, they have the kind of the go with the seat of their pants kind of plan, which is usually my plan as well.
Yeah,
so I think you've got a great plan there too. You know, I really think you're in a good position as far as everything that you talked about. You know, obviously, the thing that really ends up costing the most for us is like food. So I always make sure I have bottles of water, or, you know, like my sipper that I have here. Like I bring this water bottle in the parks with me and fill that up. So that's my biggest thing, is because it's still hot in October, or wait, September, the end of September, right? Is when they're going.
Early October.
Yeah. So it's still really hot. So you're going to want, you know, lots of water. So just make sure you bring plenty of the bottles of water for your family, because otherwise then you have to either go into a restaurant, which takes time away from your vacation. And, you know, in these times of COVID, you know, they're not, well, it's hard to probably even get in a restaurant, counter service restaurant right now, because you have to have, you know, the mobile order to probably be able to get in there anyway. So make sure you have those. Bring breakfast for the going, you know, to the parks, you know, like Pop-Tarts. Mike is big on, why did I call
you Mom?
I eat
Rice Krispie treats like they're going out of style too, because you can shove them in your pockets. 90 calories
That's
a pop.
Right. Exactly. Mike is big on Rice Krispie treats. We sometimes go and get donuts. I think at Pop they have like Entenmann's donuts and like the 8-pack.
They don't
usually.
Now because they used to, because that whole section's closed. But they used to. Under normal circumstances, they do.
That's a bummer. Okay, never mind then. So bring Entenmann's donuts with you, or just something along those lines. That's going to be a helpful way to save money as well. Those are things that we usually did.
And you know what? The thing is, too, is just you guys are on the right track. This, you know, find ways to make magic, you know, do a lot of fun pictures. Those are free. You know, you don't even have to do Memory Maker right now. Take them on your phone, selfies, you know, decide. We're going to get a selfie with every, pumpkin we see, every different kind of pumpkin, because, you know, Halloween season or something, like, you know. And one of the things, because you have to wear masks, get some cool masks, and those are cheap, you know, and that's something that could be kind of fun, especially for the kid.
That's absolutely true. And right now, I mean, you know, you can get masks. If you want to get like a 4-pack on shopdisney.com, they do have, it's a little cheaper to buy the masks there than it is to buy them individually when you're at the resort. So you can save a little bit of money that way. So that's an option too. Just know the masks do run small. So just keep that in mind. Like a medium is not an adult medium. It is a like child like size mask. So just keep that in mind. So that's a good way to save a little bit of money on masks too, because, you know, then you can have the fun to, and they do have the theme park masks on the Shop Disney right now too. So I just got my 4-pack of Haunted Mansion, It's a Small World, Enchanted Tiki Room, and Tomorrowland. So
yeah, they're everywhere. Just get them when you get there. They're in every shop. Six
well
bucks.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they're $6 versus I think they're $5 each if you buy the 4-pack.
Okay. All right.
So that's why I said if you buy them ahead of time online on Shop Disney, you can save a little bit of money. So.
Okay. All right. Let's rip through some of these. Chance Porter has a question. 186 days until my March trip, and I want to be gearing up for ADRs. Any ideas of when they may be opening ADRs, like the good old days? You can only book them at 60. So
yeah.
60
and no, I don't. You're not. Well, I think what he's asking is
back
is,
to
do
180.
You think
when it'll go back to 180?
I wouldn't. No. I wouldn't think. Don't count on it. Soon. No. Not anytime soon, anyway. So I think it's going to be at 60 for, you know, at least another year at this point.
I would think so, too.
And personally, I hope it stays at 60. I know everybody loves the 180, but I really kind of hope it stays at 60. It's at 60 at Disneyland. Or at least maybe 75, because I know a lot of people with the Fast Pass issue. So maybe change it to 75, but I don't
know.
Well,
they are starting Fast Pass up on October 1st again, so... No, just kidding. I'm just seeing if people are paying attention today. I'm just making sure people are focusing. I just like we have a lot of runners that listen to us. I just like when I'm running and I think I missed something because I'm like zoned out because it's like between mile like 11 and 12. I'm like, wait, what? Okay, so I just got somebody. I just gave up. Wait, what? Yes. Okay, next question from John Luke. Hey, BGP crew from Long Island. Do you know what kind of decorations they'll have for Halloween? We're heading down September 17 to 23. Breaking news. Hang on.
Oh, no.
Jack-o'-lanterns that look like Mickey. I'm such a butt.
Yeah, definitely jack-o'-lanterns. So I expect, I mean, granted, it's still early, so we don't know 100% what kind of holiday decor they're going to have. I suspect, though, it's going to be the same that they have every year. So they have the fantastic jack-o'-lanterns on Main Street USA. They have the fall garland, and then they have the, like, the character pumpkin people in the front there in the town square area of Main Street. And then in Liberty Square, they usually have some fall garland. That's about it, to be perfectly honest. I mean, you know, they always hype up how much Halloween decor they have at the Magic Kingdom, and really it's just Main Street USA that really has most of it. So, you know, they'll probably have the same stuff they always have.
Besides the Halloween stuff, I just like kind of seeing like the bunting that's the colors of fall, yeah. You know, like the oranges and the browns and the, like, sometimes they'll have like, you know, like they have this like Silver Dollar City Six Flags, you know, just the, what are they, like straw, you know, they put around the poles. Yep. They kind of look like, you know, big, hate, you know, straw stacks. I don't know what you call them, enough from the country. You know, what are they? Like big shoots of, you know, they're kind of yellowish.
Yeah, I got
what
it.
What are they, corn stalks or something? Yeah, I don't know what they really are, but they're cool looking. So, yeah, I'm not really far. I have to ask Matt Parrish. You probably know.
There you go.
He's from Springfield. Or down in Southwest Missouri. All right, next question is from Christopher Chabot, who's going to call in Sunday night, but we missed him. He says, I missed the call-in show on Sunday, but have a question I'm itching to get answered. If he's itching, and more like calamine lotion. So we're going to take care of him right here. Heading down to the world in November for 3 days. Two nights. So 2 nights, 3 days, November.
Okay.
Original plan was French Quarter, but we got moved to Caribbean Beach. Would you rather? We get a little mini Rudy Rather. Would you rather stay in Caribbean Beach first time in 11 years or upgrade to Grand Casino Tower Waterview for $300? With the reduced hours, I'm debating which resort will provide more entertainment. Caribbean Beach has the advantage of on transportation with the Skyliner and two of our three park days at Hollywood Studios and Epcot, but who has the upper hand in regards to restaurants and lounges? I have pools as a tie, and I'm thinking rooms at Grand Casino Wynn. Live chat and BOGP crews, please, crew, please help. All right, I'm going to give mine first on this one.
I know which one you're going to go with.
I say, because your time is so limited, Caribbean Beach on the Skyliner, especially because you mentioned you're going to Epcot and the studios. Yep. I mean, you're there in a blink, and more importantly, at the end of the day, you're back in a blink. Also, yep. Caribbean Beach now has upgraded, you know, it's got the cabana, banana cabana.
I get them
mixed up. So it has, now I will tell you, Coronado is definitely a more deluxe feel. The rooms are better at Coronado, especially in the tower. You got Barcelona down in the lower part of the lobby. Coronado is awesome. If you were in the pools, I would say I love the dig site at Coronado. I would give it like a tick up on the pirate pool at Caribbean Beach, but the pirate pool is cool too. And there's a lot of, you know, quiet pools everywhere too. But here's the thing. If you were just going for resort stay, Coronado for sure for the $300. But if you can save $300, stay at Caribbean Beach, you'll still have decent dining, pretty good dining, a great pool, decent rooms, and the Skyliner where you can get around to the parks quickly, I say save the $300 and go Caribbean Beach. Same? That's what I would do.
Yeah, I was actually going to say the same thing. I would save the $300. I would stay at Caribbean Beach. I think Caribbean Beach, based off of what parks they're planning on going to the most, is hands down, you know, the Skyliner is the way to go. So Caribbean Beach is exactly where I would stay at this point. Yeah. And you know, you can always visit the, you know, Coronado for, you know, their lounges if you want. So there's that option too. But yeah, I think as far as, you know, the transportation just wins for that one.
Yeah, maybe go over to Coronado and you know, have a like dinner at the Three Bridges, you know, in the middle of the lake or something like that. That'd be fun. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a geyser point. All right, this question actually just came in an hour ago. 3-day getaway listener question from Jonah. Hey everybody, my wife and I made the last minute decision to head down to Walt Disney World in November. We're arriving at Pop Century on a Sunday and leaving on a Wednesday morning. That's when I think 3-day trip, I'm always thinking weekends, but this is kind of interesting because it's a Sunday to a Wednesday for a 3-day. The plan is to do Animal Kingdom, a day at the other park, and a day in the Magic Kingdom. I have a few questions. Number one, With the parks closing earlier, what would you suggest for a good meal at the Springs or the resorts on two of our evenings? We've already kind of settled on the idea of Polite Pig after our Animal Kingdom day. We'd love to check out Animal Kingdom Lodge restaurants if there's a possibility of those reopening between now and then. Okay, and then here's a second question. I would not think Animal Kingdom is going to be back open between now and then. Polite Pig is amazing. Go.
Yes,
go. And please do not put the pictures on Instagram because I just start drool. Stop. Just go and don't even tell me you went. Please, Jonah.
Got it.
All right. So that. What about the other two nights? I say I would go Disney Springs or resort. I would throw out a couple options. Geyser Point at Wilderness Lodge. Especially after your Magic Kingdom day, catch a boat right over and you're there. And especially if it's a nice night because that's outside and that's a great place to eat.
Right.
You know, they have good stuff on the menu. Not a huge menu, but it's good stuff. What about the Springs? I mean, they got the Polite Pig already, but do we have another resort restaurant? What do you think? It's going to be a day where they're probably at Universal coming back. Or could they eat at Universal?
I was actually going to suggest, I know this is a Disney podcast, but I was totally going to suggest eating at City Walk.
Nope, didn't hear you. What? Go ahead.
Nope, yeah, exactly. City Walk.
Okay.
Eat at City Walk. I have the perfect restaurant for you. Go to Big Fire Grill at City Walk. It is amazing. It is seriously one of the best steaks I've ever had. It was cooked to perfection. The potatoes that I had were amazing. They had a pork belly mac and cheese, which was just fire.
Dang, that sounds good.
Seriously. Oh my gosh. I guarantee you will not regret going to Big Fire. They also have this, like, it's like a s'mores thing that you can do in the middle of the table. I don't suggest doing it. I think that it's a little bit of a rip. I think like it's the novelty is cool, but I would suggest instead going over to Toothsome, which has their shakes that you can go and do the walk up shake at Toothsome.
I had one of those once and I was in pain for 3 days afterwards.
So good. I'm telling you, like, it's the most delicious shake. It's two desserts in one usually because it comes with some giant confection on top.
It's got some huge dessert on top of a big old shake.
Slice of cake or a cupcake or a giant cookie or a brownie. Like
stop.
It comes
my
with
stomach
something.
Hurts. Stop. I know. I'm getting flashbacks to April of 2018. Stop.
It's so good. Oh my gosh. So that's the day that I was having, that's what I would do. If you're looking to go to Disney Springs, though, then definitely consider Homecoming. Definitely consider Boathouse. I think that those are two of our favorites here on the podcast.
Paradiso 37, just for the heck of it. I just want to go there someday.
I have eaten there once. It's not bad. I enjoyed my nachos, so those were good. But yeah, I would absolutely consider one of those two restaurants. If you're wanting like a counter service type option, Deluxe Burger, I think, is going to be a great option at the Springs. Or, of course, there's Earl of Sandwich, which is also good, too. But seriously, go to Big Fire. You will not regret it. It was so good. I wish I could have Big Fire tonight. Oh, my gosh. It was so good.
All right. So, real quick, any tips on getting from Pop to Universal? Probably Uber, Lyft, something like that. Yeah. Probably 10 bucks. It's probably 10 bucks. And plus, you get dropped off right in the front.
Yeah, I would Uber or Lyft, to be perfectly totally honest. That. I mean, that's the best way to do it at this point.
Oh, look at that. Bethany said they had they love Paradiso 37. Hubs loves the fish tacos. See? I've been so curious about that place for like 15 years, and I've never gone.
Nachos are good, and they had good plantains, too. So
dude, I'm allergic.
Like
are you trying to kill me? I'm allergic to bananas.
Oh, yeah, you're allergic to bananas. That's right.
You're trying to kill me. Dude. I feel like I'm with my family. Like, they're always trying to knock me off.
Sorry. I forgot you were allergic to bananas.
And shout out to Anthony, who is listening on his way home from work as we record live. All right, real quick. Bethany's got a question. Do you think Food and Wine will run through the Festival of the Holidays over at Epcot, which was announced this year? So what's that, November? No, November 6th is kind of the magic date for the decorations and stuff. Is that when Festival of the Holidays starts?
It is not. Okay. So the Festival of the Holidays starts on the 27th.
Oh, that's my birthday. Yes, there you go. That's for my birthday.
So, perfect birthday present for you. Yeah, so I would say it will probably run. They haven't officially announced a date, obviously, for the you know, scaled down version of Food and Wine. But if I was going to take a guess, I would say probably either through like the 15th or maybe the 20th, 21st, somewhere around there, like somewhere in that week, I would say is probably when you're going to see the Food and Wine Festival end.
I did see today, just somebody that was at Epcot that, you know, they actually had some of the food booths closed. Because, again, this is kind of the first week after Labor Day where the crowds dip on a normal year. And some of the food and wine booths were not open. That had been open solid since the opening. Like Spain, I think, was closed. They say they're only going to be open on the weekends.
I can see a lot of them only being open on the weekends, to be perfectly honest. So, yeah. You know, this year's Food and Wine Festival is just not as big or grand as it has been in the past. I mean, rightfully so. But it kind of, in a weird way, feels like a small bit of an afterthought. I don't know. Maybe that's just because there's not like all the hoopla going on with all the, you know,
it's 2020. Stuff like that. Basically, that's it. Yeah. All right, real quick for Alfred, any updates to Halloween offerings? I don't think we have anything new on that. They've kind of set that all into place. Everything's in motion. They've moved on to the holidays of Christmas. And then we haven't heard anything for New Year's, but that's on deck. And then, of course, we've been having this conversation in the Discord like crazy earlier this week about the fate of Marathon Weekend. And on Sunday night on the live call-in show, I gave it about a 30% chance of happening. I'm back down to between a 15 and 20% chance of it happening at this point because of what has been decided for December, which is a couple weeks before a marathon.
Yeah, that's probably true. And to be honest, I mean, they don't ever have anything, you know, for the Halloween festivities that it's new besides the fact, I mean, obviously the fact that you're going to be able to dress up this year at the Magic Kingdom. I mean, that is new. So that's kind of cool. And also, I mean, any kind of specialty treat or something like that. That's what's going to be new is some specialty treat, some specialty merchandise sipper or popcorn bucket or something like that. That's usually what they have that's new for the Halloween.
When we talked about that on Sunday night on the live call-in show, we used your article over on the Mouse for Less with all the new you know, cupcakes and merchandise. The that one popcorn bucket that's kind of like a Mickey jack-o'-lantern. It looks like the balloon
so
one.
Cute. It's
that one's solid. I like that one a lot.
Yeah. It's so cute. And of course, everybody has been losing their minds over the Madame Leota sipper.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
dude, that line. Are you kidding me? That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course. But I mean, can you blame them? I mean, the sipper is really cool.
See, I think the stuff's cool, but I'm not waiting in line like longer than riding Seven Dwarfs Mine Train for like a cup.
That's true. You know, well, I mean, you know, it's a lot of resellers.
I know. That stuff drives me crazy. Ugh.
I know.
So bad.
I know. Don't get me started on the resellers. I know. So.
What do you think the chances are you'll get one of the character cavalcades during the Halloween season with like the band that plays in the Boo to You parade?
You mean like
those dudes that are up there, like the skeletons that are playing like the bass and the drums and stuff? Who are they? Do they have a name?
Oh my gosh, the skeleton band. That'd be
awesome if they busted out, 'cause you know that float's sitting around somewhere.
I would love to see that. And, you know, all they have to do is just splice out that section of, of It's Good to Be Bad, of the parade.
Yes.
And just play it running down Main Street. That would be fantastic. You know what I think we will see, though, potentially, is the cadaver dance. I think we'll see them.
Just random people just walking around with shovels, dragging them on the ground, making sparks.
No, not that. But I think that we might see the cadaver dance performing in Frontierland. Above, I think Country Bear is a spot where there's like a
it's like a stage.
They're standing right now. Like I know Country Bears are standing up there, greeting guests. So I can easily see them doing something like right there. Or
but
I
then
think
you have
there's
people
a...
stopping. You can't have people stop and look. That's a stage. That's a
bad
thing.
That's valid though.
Everything's got to be like a flyby. Like a
that's whoosh. True.
They like so playing Good to Be Bad in four times the normal speed, and they're just like.
Maybe they could like walk and sing. I don't know. Cadaver dance would be really good.
They would be really good, but they got to be like they got to really pop. And I have an answer for the Halloween for the Christmas stuff on Friday's show. I mean, I have the solution of all solutions. Wait to hear this on Friday for something they can do that would blow people's mind and it would work in 2020. That's called the tease. Podcast.
Yes.
All right, we're going to get out of here, but before we do, I want to thank all of our patrons. You're really making this stuff happen for us here in the times where travel has slowed down a bit. I want to give a shout out to some of our patrons that have been here since day one with us back in June. And a lot of these folks have been with the podcast since we started back in 2008. Big shout out to Michelle Camber, Madison, Susie Campbell, Michelle Fenster, Sarah Goff, Kelly Hughes, and Philip LeBlanc. Thanks for being a patron. You make this all possible. Don't forget, if you have a question and you want to get on the next show, send your question to mike@brguestpodcast.com. Put listener questions in the heading, and we'll get that on the podcast. Today's show, of course, brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. They are the best. They are a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best. You know, it's a great time to book with a travel agent. It costs you nothing extra. You get expert help with every step of the process, and it really does help support the show. So go over to themagicforless.com, fill out that free, no-obligation quote form. And if you mention the Be Our Guest podcast, it's you and I working together. I'm full-time. I do this every day, all day. We're going to take great care of you right away. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And if you would like to get some extra content in your week and become a patron, check it out. We got a private Discord channel, which is a lot of fun. It's a chat room. It sounds real fancy and technical. It's not. It's like an old IRC chat. We have a private one for our patrons. We have one for everybody else. We actually have one for the lizards, too. But become a patron. Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Give us a follow on social media and Instagram @BeOurGuestMike, @BeOurGuestPod. And, of course, check us out on Facebook and YouTube as well. All right, time to get out of here. And I gotta find my Christmas stockings. In my Christmas hat. It's still hot. But we're going to be talking Christmas down at Walt Disney World on Friday. So until then, for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work. That's right. It is still Wednesday. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.